Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. A lot to get to on the show today. We got Andrew Gillis standing by, gives his thoughts on Ohio State and Indiana. Massive game this weekend in Columbus. We'll also get in some of the other games on the college football slate this weekend. We'll dive in to the second half of the NFL slate. We looked at a bunch of games in Week 12. We'll look at some of the other games in Week 12 coming up later on in the show. We'll also dive in to some NFL awards. We got the MVP, Coach of the Year. We also got Offensive Rookie of the Year. A lot of different markets to get into. We will dive into all of that. Kate Constable will join us later on in the show, and then we'll wrap everything up with PJ's plays for the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Anything on Ohio State or Indiana, let us know as well. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. Andrew Gillis joining us. Give him a follow on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Covers Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. Now, the starting center for Ohio State, Gillis, Seth McLaughlin, he tore his ACL in practice yesterday, and it's a huge loss for Ohio State, dealing with another injury on the offensive line as well. What do you think Ohio State's going to do to replace McLaughlin up front?
Well, so, you know, the original reports are that it's an Achilles, not an ACL. So, you know, when you deal with an Achilles, that's obviously, I mean, that's a season ender. You know, we talked to Ryan Day as we're doing this. We talked to Ryan Day on Wednesday night. Hopefully we'll get the confirmation there from him, but, you know, the reports are out there and it seems pretty solid. So, you know, Ohio State will have something for us, but it is a huge loss because if you haven't been watching Ohio State this year, the name Seth McLaughlin might ring a bell because he was the center at Alabama last year. And if you remember that Rose Bowl, he had some snapping issues and it was not great for him. And it was kind of a rough ride for him in that game. He didn't play well. He transfers to Ohio State. He shows up in Columbus and we were having the conversation kind of before this all went down of, is Seth McLaughlin an All-American? He's certainly all Big Ten. Is he an All-American? He had been playing at that level. And I think that that's really important to note here is that Ohio State loses a center who had played in playoff games, played in big-time environments, played in really tough places to play, the Oregon game, the Penn State game. Now he's not in the lineup anymore, and they had lost their left tackle, Josh Simmons, against Oregon. Those are two NFL players. I think Josh Simmons had kind of played himself into that first, second-round category. Seth McLaughlin had probably played himself into those mid-round, the 2-3-4 category. He had been really, you know, coming on late. Now you have questions. They kicked over Donovan Jackson, who was their left guard. Now he's their left tackle. My guess would be they bring in Austin Sereveld, who's a second-year player. He started the first two games of the year at left guard, kind of rotated in right guard, left guard, kind of been kind of a sixth man, if you will, for this season. I think he's going to start at left guard. Carson Hinsman, who was their center last year, who they brought in Seth McLaughlin to replace. I think he, who had been starting at left guard because Jackson kicked out to left tackle, I think he slides over to center. Then the right side of the offensive line stays the same. They have Tegra Shabola at right guard, who's been he's been okay this year. You know, nothing special, but I don't think he's been necessarily bad. Then Josh Fryer, who I think has actually been sneaky good for Ohio State at right tackle, he's going to stay. So there's a lot of moving around here. But, you know, we did a video about this last night for Cleveland.com, and basically the fact of the matter is we broke it down and we're like, you cannot overstate what a big loss this is for the Buckeyes. This is really, really big. And looking ahead, they play Michigan next week. Yep. And Michigan doesn't do a lot well this year, right, especially offensively. But they're loaded up the middle on that defensive line with Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, and that's going to be a problem for Ohio State. So it is just a really, really big loss, I think, in terms of underrated players on Ohio State this year. Everybody wants to talk about Jeremiah Smith and Will Howard, and all rightfully so. Seth McLaughlin was really high on that list of players they could least afford to lose.
Yeah, you talk about Will Howard, Gillis, and I think a lot of people coming into the season, he was really the whole key, right? I mean, there was no denying how loaded Ohio State was on both sides of the ball. But obviously, Kyle McCord wasn't as good as they were hoping for last season. They went out in the portal. They brought in Will Howard. You've watched him play every game this season. A lot of people, myself included, think Ohio State's the best team in the country. Do you think that Howard is good enough to win the Buckeyes the whole thing?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't think he can do it on his own, if that makes sense. I think, you know, you think back to some quarterbacks in the past, you know, massive, you know, big-time quarterbacks, you know, Tua, Bama, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, even at Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, Justin Fields. Those quarterbacks were good enough to where you could say, hey, we're in some trouble, go win the game for us, right? You know, yep. You just kind of hand everything over to him and say, you got to go win it for us because we need you. Ohio State is set up in a manner where they probably have the best receiving trio in the country. Jeremiah Smith, Emeka Buka, Carnell Tate. Those might be three first-round picks eventually, all in their receiver room. They might have the Biletnikoff winner in their room right now in Jeremiah Smith. They have maybe the best running back tandem in the country, at least one of them, in Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson. I think the thing with Will Howard, and they knew this coming in, I think we knew this coming in, is you never needed him to be that guy where you could just shove everything on his plate and say, go win us the game. He's kind of a pass-first point guard in that regard. You just kind of need him to flow the offense really well, make the offense run smoothly. I think he's done that for the most part. You know, I mean, you look at his numbers and you know, they're pretty solid. His completion percentage is over 70%, 24 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's been a runner when they've needed him to. You know, I think in some games this year, you can look and say, all right, well, they didn't really try it, but they didn't really need to. When they've needed him to, he's been able to be an effective runner. So I think Will Howard absolutely can win this team a national championship. I just think it has to come in the context of the team that he is on, the offense that he is in, who he's playing with, things like that. Because I'm not going to list him as a top three quarterback in the sport. I'm not going to list him as, you know, maybe a first round pick. He's not in that category, but he has been pretty dang good for Ohio State this year. And I think that that is enough, especially when, you know, you look at what he has around him and kind of what he has on defense. You know, a defense that has struggled a little bit, but they're still pretty good. I think absolutely Will Howard can win this team a national championship.
So this spread opened up at 9.5. It's at 13.5 right now. So clearly that opener was not a good line. It feels like a ton of people are going to like Indiana, not only spread, but money line in this game. Give me your thoughts on what you think happened Saturday. Gillison, do you see it as a higher scoring game, or do you like the under, the total sitting at 51.5?
Yeah, so to answer the second part first, I like a higher scoring game here. I think Ohio State, I mean, you look at the past, they have struggled when they have played, you know, pass first, pass happy offenses. In terms of yards per play when passing the ball, Indiana's third in the country, and one of those teams that they're behind is Army. And I know Army's changed up their offense, but a pass for Army is kind of like a trick play. So, you know, Indiana is one of the most efficient, effective passing football teams in college football. Ohio State has struggled in their secondary, which is not something that we expected to say going into the year. Their corners have been a little bit down. Denzel Burke, Davison Igbinosa, and they have not really been at that level that we thought. They're still really talented. They're still pretty good. But the Oregon game for Denzel Burke was an unmitigated disaster. That was just not his best day. So I think Indiana is probably going to be able to move the ball. this has been a tricky line for me all week and a tricky game to kind of project here. I like Ohio State 13.5. I think if it goes 14 or maybe over, I think that you start to get a little dicey. Because the thing that is really interesting here is whether you believe it or not, whether you buy into it or not, there are people that say if Indiana loses big, they should not make the college football playoff. Indiana is going to play this as a four-quarter game. So I think we could be in a situation where Ohio State goes up, I don't know, hypothetically 31-7, and it's the fourth quarter. Indiana's not quitting. Indiana's not pulling the chute saying, you know what, let's win next week. Indiana's going to play out the string, whereas Ohio State might say, you know what, we got Michigan next week. You know, we got to win that one, and then we got Oregon the week after. Indiana is really going to keep their pedal to the metal the entire time. So I wonder about backdoor covers here. I wonder about maybe a backdoor score. Second half Indiana, I think, would be really intriguing to me if Ohio State does kind of jump out big. They did this a few years ago with another team who also gave their coach a contract extension, Mel Tucker in Michigan State.
Yeah,
maybe we see something similar here with Ohio State and Indiana. Never give your coach a contract extension in season. It feels like it never works out. But I think I like Ohio State by 2 touchdowns. But if you get over that, that's just real dicey because Indiana is really going to have to show the committee that they can hang. Because Indiana, you know, maybe they already are in a playoff and this is all worth nothing. Indiana is still kind of playing for a home playoff game, and that's really what they're after. And if you keep this game close against Ohio State, you did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, no question about it. Can't wait. Indiana, Ohio State, Saturday from Columbus. He's Andrew Gillis. Give him a follow on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Covers Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. Gillis, enjoy the game on Saturday. Appreciate the time, man, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, PJ. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, Andrew Gillis, great stuff there. Helping us preview Ohio State and Indiana now as we go over to Gridiron Glass. It is a Wednesday. Love this segment. We look at the over, the under, favorite underdog that I like the best for this upcoming weekend in college football. Over that I like the best this week, we're going to go over 53.5 in Vanderbilt and LSU. Now, LSU, we've talked about in the last few weeks, right? And I think the book is kind of out on how to attack them. You just got to have a mobile quarterback. That's really what it's all about. Tigers are on a 3-game losing streak. Look at the quarterbacks that they've faced. Marcel Reed of A&M, Jalen Milroe of Alabama, DJ Lagway from Florida. All those guys can really run. They got great speed. Well, what do we know about Vanderbilt this year? Diego Pavia has been awesome as a dual threat. Vanderbilt's been incredible as an underdog this year. I think they're going to be able to score their points. I think LSU is going to be also able to score their points with this game being at home, in Baton Rouge, at night. So I just think this total's too low. I like over 53.5. Brian Kelly, the hot seat's kind of warming up a little bit. They got Vandy at home this week, Oklahoma at home next week. They better win these final couple games, or the fans might get a little restless there in Baton Rouge. We'll take the over in Vandy and LSU. Under that I like this week, USC and UCLA under 51.5. UCLA's been a great under team this year. Only 2 games this season is UCLA played in a game where the combined score has gone over 52 points. Their offense was terrible to start the year. It actually has been much better here over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And USC's kind of sneaky been a decent under team as well. The offense hasn't been as great as we're normally accustomed to with Lincoln Riley. And the defense without Alex Grinch has been much better. You also have Danton Lynn, who's the DC at USC, came over from UCLA. So there's some familiarity with some of those players that I think is going to help them in this game as well. Just think this total's too high. This feels like a 24-20 kind of game. We'll go under 51.5. Favorite that I like the best, I've talked Ole Miss all this week. I like a minus 10 against Florida. I just think DJ Lagway and that Gators offense is going to have a tough time moving the ball against that Ole Miss front seven that's really, really good. And you're going to hear this a lot over the next couple of weeks. Style points, teams pad and stats. You just heard Gillis talk about it. He made a great point. Indiana's going to play a four-quarter game, whether they're down by 7 or they're down by 30, because they know margin is a big factor. Ole Miss is the same way. If they're up 30, they're going to keep putting their foot on the gas and look to win by 45. So I like Ole Miss minus 10. Underdog that I like this week, folks, Oklahoma plus 13.5. I take some money line as well. I'm telling you, Bama is on upset alert in this game. Everybody just thinks Bama's going to win out the final 2 games against Oklahoma and Auburn. They're big favorites in both of those games. They're going to be in the SEC championship game. Just when you think that Bama is going to look like Bama, like they were under Nick Saban, that's when kind of the other shoe drops a little bit, right? We all thought after that Georgia game, they were going to win the SEC. They were the team to beat. They followed that up with a loss against Vanderbilt. We all kind of thought that they were hitting their stride again heading into the Tennessee game. They lose that. So I just think that game against LSU was more about the Tigers. Oklahoma's coming off a bye with a very good defense. Jackson Arnold's playing much better at quarterback. There's a reason that this game has gone from 14 to now 13.5. They're not giving you that 14 anymore. Oklahoma keeps this game close, and I'm telling you, I think that money line sprinkle is worth it as well. And then a dog I like this week outright, give me Kansas, plus 115 on the money line against Colorado. Guys, Kansas might be the best team in the Big 12, might be the second best team. I think these are the two best teams in the conference, right? BYU's a fraud. Finally, they lost. Thank God for Kansas, giving them their first loss. But before that, Kansas also beat Iowa State, who was one of the top teams in the Big 12. And then the week before that, they lost by one on the road to Kansas State as double-digit dogs. So Kansas is at a brutal stretch. They've played good team after good team, the top teams in the Big 12. They've either won those games or they barely lost those games. I think Colorado, they better be careful this week. I like Kansas to upset them, plus 115. All right, let's talk some NFL now here on Send It In. Beef underscore VZ, you like the Hoosiers to cover? I do not. I like Ohio State this weekend. Beef underscore VZ. I think it's a lot like Georgia and Tennessee, where Tennessee started fast. I think Indiana could start fast as well, but I think over the period of four quarters, I think Ohio State eventually pulls away. When you get to this late in the season and the strength, the schedule disparity is like it is with Ohio State and Indiana, I think that's a huge advantage for the Buckeyes. I think they roll on Saturday. So I would lay the number with the Buckeyes. I would take the points, though, with the Tennessee Titans +8.5 against the Houston Texans. There has been no team in sports this year that has lost me more money than the Tennessee Titans. They are 1-9 against the spread. I think I've been a part of like 6 or 7 of those losses. I cannot quit this team. And the problem is they just have such good spots to bet them every single week. And they have another great spot this week going up against the Houston Texans. The Texans have played in 3 straight primetime games. They played against the Jets on Thursday. They played that Lions game on Sunday night. And they just had the Monday night game against Dallas, right? 3 primetime games in a row against solid teams. Well, certainly Detroit. I know the Jets were battling for their playoff lives. Dallas, that was the Battle of Texas. That was a huge game to the Texans. You could see how bad they won in that game. And now they're at home, 1 p.m. game, divisional game against one of the worst teams in football. Like, it feels like a letdown. I could only take Tennessee in this game, so I like the Titans plus the 8.5. Broncos laying 5.5 on the road in Vegas. This is a tricky game, right? I mean, Denver certainly looks like a playoff team. Bo Nix is playing really good football. But anytime you're laying this kind of points on the road with a rookie in a divisional game makes me a little nervous, so that's going to be a pass for me. 49ers and Packers, I really like San Francisco on Sunday. I'm hoping we get a 3 in this game, but I like the 2.5. Certainly got to monitor the injury report. Brock Purdy's banged up. Nick Bosa's banged up. George Kittle didn't play last week for San Francisco. But much like Cincinnati last week against the Chargers, their season is on the line. And Cincinnati didn't come through, but you saw the comeback with them in the second half. San Francisco is going to battle in this game. I think they're a great teaser leg this week at 8.5. And San Francisco feels like there's two teams that they've dominated over the last 6-7 years. It's been Dallas and it's been Green Bay. I like San Francisco plus the points. I also really like Seattle in a pick'em against Arizona. Cardinals right now are leading the NFC West. They've won 4 games in a row. They're coming off a bye week. They're 2-0 in the division. Seattle's lost 4 straight games at home, though. We're talking about the Seahawks. I mean, that's one of the best home field advantages in the NFL, and they just have not been able to take advantage of it. I think coming off the bye week, winning that game against the Niners last week, I think Seattle carries that into this week. I like them to beat Arizona. I like the Eagles -3 in LA taking on the Rams. It's going to be a really good game. Philadelphia very quietly has one of the better defenses in the NFL. They got a very good young secondary that I think is going to neutralize certainly Puka and Cooper Kupp. It's going to be a really good game, but I like the -3 with the Eagles, and I also like the -3 with the Ravens against the Chargers as well. Lamar Jackson is so good off a loss. Baltimore is really good after tough losses like they had at the hands of Pittsburgh this past Sunday. And Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football, go look up his stats and what he does. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks on Monday Night Football. He's had multiple 5-touchdown games, including a couple weeks ago when he played against Tampa. I also like the under in this game as well at 15.5. There's so much familiarity between these two teams. Obviously, you got the two Harbaughs. You got Greg Roman, who is the OC for the Chargers, who was with Lamar for the first 4 years of his career. Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, who were with the Ravens. Obviously, the two running backs for the Chargers. And Jesse Minter, a very good young defensive coordinator for the Chargers. I think we'll have a decent game plan. Ardarius Washington took over for Marcus Williams for the Ravens in the secondary, and it was the best they have looked probably all year. So I like the under 50.5 in that game as well. All right, before we continue talking NFL and dive into the NFL awards market, yesterday on You Better You Bet, we had Bill Cowher talking MVP. Here's a clip.
I think there's four guys to me. I think number one, I think I would push Josh Allen. I think Lamar is a second choice that you have to look at. I mean, with everything he's done, I know he didn't have the game on Sunday in Pittsburgh. He's got to be a guy that you have to think about and consider. And Jared Goff is another guy, I think, right now. If we sit here and talk about what they've done and you look at their numbers and how they've been able to put their teams at the very top of what they're doing, those three guys, you got to talk about them in the forefront. Now, Derrick Henry is a running back. I know that. But I would put those three guys at the very top.
Yeah, great having Coach Cowher on You Better You Bet yesterday. Make sure you go back and listen to the You Better You Bet podcast. Listen to the full interview. But I agree with Coach Cowher, right? Josh Allen should be the favorite right now. That's why he is at plus 150. Lamar right behind him at plus 200. Jared Goff at plus 600. Feels like it's really between those three guys. I think Jalen Hurts at 14-1 could be another interesting guy to look at, because if the Eagles get in the mix for the number one seed in the NFC, keep in mind they only have two losses. If they win out or only lose one more game the rest of the way, I think Hurts could work himself in the conversation. I can't get there with Jared Goff. To me, he feels like this year's Brock Purdy. It feels like he's having a really good season and he's a good quarterback, but there's just so much talent around him. And much like last year when Brock Purdy had the four interception game on Christmas against the Ravens in primetime and couldn't overcome it, I don't know if Goff can overcome that five interception game against Houston that we saw a couple weeks ago. I think this award comes down to Lamar and it comes down to Josh Allen. And I think Lamar's going to put up better statistical numbers than Josh will this season. Lamar's having one of the best seasons we've seen out of a quarterback. But much like last year, again, Lamar and the Ravens were the best team in the AFC, and their schedule down the stretch was brutal. And they just won so many big games against a lot of really good teams. Well, Buffalo had the big win over Kansas City. Coming out of their bye week next week, they have San Francisco, followed by a game at the Rams, and then a game at the Lions. If Buffalo wins two of those three games, if they win all three of those games, I think Josh is going to have a really good case to win MVP. I think losing Diggs and Gabe Davis in the offseason, a lot of people not being sure what the Bills would look like for him to be 9-2 and for Buffalo to have a chance to get the number one seed. It feels like Josh probably his year to win MVP. If the Bills do slip up, though, and Lamar keeps having a great season and great games, he'll be back in the conversation. But I really do think it's a two-horse race between those two guys. As for Coach of the Year, I think Mike Tomlin at plus 300, it's his to lose. Pittsburgh's win total this season was 7.5. They're already 9-2 this season, so they have, or they're 8-2 this season. They've eclipsed that. And Tomlin's never won the award. This is a guy who's a future Hall of Famer, one of the top three coaches in the NFL, and it feels like this is truly his best coaching job, going from Fields to Russell Wilson, how the defense has been playing all season. The Steelers have a brutal schedule to end. They play five more divisional games. They also have the Eagles and the Chiefs left on their schedule. If you like the Steelers to win the AFC North, I wouldn't lay the minus money. I would just take Mike Tomlin to win Coach of the Year. And then finally, Joe Burrow. I love him to win AP Comeback Player of the Year as well at plus 150. It feels like there are certain awards that are dictated by your record, like MVP, like Coach of the Year, and there are certain awards that are just dictated by stats. I think Comeback Player of the Year is one of those, and it feels like with the incredible season that Joe Burrow is having, and yet his team losing all these close games because of the defense or because of the kicker, I think this is how they reward Burrow for a great season. So plus 150, Kirk Cousins right now is your favorite because Atlanta's winning the NFC South. Burrow's having the way better year, and I think he wins Comeback Player of the Year. So I like Joe Burrow in that market. All right, let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable. Get some winners tonight in the NBA. Also find out what she's on this weekend in football. Kate, before we do that, though, what are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Hey, BJ, yeah, five-star play for today in The NBA. Cavs minus 15 against the Pelicans tonight. Cleveland, their win streak finally snapped last night against the Celtics. Cavs are back at home tonight, and they are facing a Pelicans team that is without, like, literally everyone. Brandon Ingram was their last, like, star player that was still on the floor, and he just got ruled out earlier today. So they don't have anyone. I did go on the Daily Tip earlier this morning, and I gave out Pelicans. I liked them. Getting 13 and a half before Ingram was out, because oftentimes when a team ends a win streak, it's kind of like the wind is taken out of their sails. They can finally let their hair down a little bit, and the pressure of that win streak is taken off of them, and sometimes they lose two or three games in a row. I thought maybe that could happen tonight. I'm not so sure now with Brandon Ingram being out. Like, the Pelicans are just so decimated that the model is taking the Cavs minus 15, and I'm likely staying off of this game.
Kate, I'm with you. I like that logic as well. Team has a big win streak. They lose. Everybody just expects them to bounce back, especially with New Orleans having all these injuries. So I'm with you. I'm not going to bet it yet because this spread just might continue to climb, but I like New Orleans as well. Any other NBA games that you like tonight?
Yeah, I like the Bulls tonight. I grabbed them at plus 8.5. There may still be 8.5s out there. If not, if 8 is the only number you can get, I still think that that is a fine number to play as well. Chicago has played Milwaukee tough over the last couple of years. I mean, you look at what they've done. They beat them on the road this year. They are 4-4 across the last 2 years against them. And one thing about the Bulls is if they beat Milwaukee, or if they cover, they're likely winning outright. They've, in their four losses, they've lost by an average of what, like 12, 13 points. But when they're covering, they're winning outright. So it might even be worth sprinkling a little on the money line tonight. The Bulls are first in pace. Their offense is getting a little bit better. And they're shooting the three ball really well right now. Milwaukee's been a mess all season. Like, Giannis is really the only bright spot right now, and he's dealing with a knee injury. So I like the points with the Bulls tonight. I also like the Sixers in the first quarter, minus half a point, or you could even just take them on the money line at minus 120 against the Grizzlies tonight. Sixers are coming off of that team meeting the other night. And I mean, again, this is just kind of a narrative bet of like back the team that should be all fired up, motivated, ready to play hard. I'm not going to even bank on them playing hard for a full game, but I think for the first quarter they could. They're averaging the most first quarter points of any team in the league. So I think they can get on the scoreboard enough to at least win this first quarter.
First quarter, Kate. I love it. Good angle there with Philadelphia. Kate, before we let you go, real quick, in about 30 seconds, favorite football play this week. It can be in the NFL, college football. What's your favorite bet?
Yeah, I like the under in the Broncos and Raiders tonight. That's down to 41. I mean, the Broncos defense is really good, right? I mean, they haven't allowed more than 2 touchdowns in each of their last 3 wins. I think that their pass rush is a little underrated. They can get to the quarterback, and the Raiders are just broken. There's nothing positive about the Raiders right now. So I will take the under 41 in Broncos Raiders.
Very good. Kate, appreciate it. Great insight on the NBA tonight. Broncos, Raiders as well. Good luck to you, and we'll catch up again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, let's give out some winners for today. Time for PJ's plays. We'll go to tomorrow night's Thursday night football game. Get in on Jaylen Warren over 12.5 receiving yards. I think this number is going to go up. Low-scoring game. Russ looked a little timid in that Ravens game. He looked a little gun-shy. Didn't want to take many chances. I think he uses his checkdowns. He uses his backs, his tight ends. A lot of short passes will go over 12.5 receiving yards for Jaylen Warren. Same wavelength as Kate. I like the Pelicans tonight as my dog of the day against the Cavs. Cavs are 15-0. They have this big win streak. Everybody's out for New Orleans. I think everybody just expects the Cavs to bounce back. I'm not one of those people. Give me the Pelicans to keep it within the number. And then finally, my best bet, I really like Joe Burrow to win Comeback Player of the Year at plus 150. Cousins is the favorite because of the team success of Atlanta, but I think this is an award where people are going to look at the numbers that Burrow are putting up. The record is not his fault. He's having an MVP caliber year. Joe Burrow to win Comeback Player of the Year, my best bet at plus 150. Once again, Jaylen Warren over receiving yards, our prop lock for tomorrow. Pelicans, our dog of the day against the Cavs, and Burrow to win Comeback Player of the Year. Thanks again to Andrew Gillis, Kate Constable for joining us. We will see you guys tomorrow. Cole Thompson on the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.